had been away. Heaven change had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show, the champions of the local comic book shop. Broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, Hamilton's award-winning radio station. Podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRailia, Overstreet, Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And we are back in town.
We are back in town.
Shecky threw me off there.
Really?
Because this is our second week back.
That is true.
From
that
a year true. And a half hiatus.
Yep. And, yeah, at least a year and a half.
And it feels good to be back. And I think Sheck is just so excited for us to be back.
I know.
As a threesome.
Yep. Well, yeah, I heard he likes threesomes.
He does.
Yeah.
Especially the menagerie of comic
of
stuff.
Of Twasium.
Excuse me?
Nothing.
Hey, maybe it's a good time to introduce Shecky Feldstein.
Hey, Shecky, you're still here.
I don't got a clue what you two are talking about, what you're rambling on about.
It's code.
Yeah. You know what? Great to have you back, Sheck.
I'm glad to be here. And, it's only the second show back. You know, some of the people, because we had a rather abrupt hiatus
for
a couple months, this might be the first time they're checking back in. We just we have to welcome everyone
that
for
is
a few
true.
Weeks.
That is true.
Yeah. Give a soft welcome.
Sheck, you got it going on.
A soft welcome.
And, yeah. But speaking of got it going on, Chris Owen... after Shecky reads. See, I'm confused already.
Okay.
So what happens here?
We need to, for those of you who haven't...
Take a breath. Breathe in.
If you're not used to the show, what we like to do here on the show...
I'm clearly not.
...is we like to talk about New This Week. Mm-hmm. But before we talk about New This Week, we like to have a little sponsor who is which is usually read by young Shecky here.
That's right. Okay. I knew I had it. Mm-hmm. So, Shecky, do we have a sponsor for New This Week?
Absolutely. New This Week brought to you by Fan Expo, because what better way to salute the end of summer than sitting around in the crowded convention center on the busy Labor Day weekend?
Oh, that's always fun.
Yeah.
You know what? It's the end of summer and it's going to be a hot weekend. You're going to sweat no matter where you are. You may as well sweat in the Fan Expo.
That's right. You're going to come in hot.
Coming in hot.
Coming in hot.
All right. Owen, what do we got this week at the comic shop?
All
what's
right.
coming in?
You know what? Let's talk about Bombshells. Bombshells. DC Comics Bombshells. So this is their... It all started with a couple of pinups and things like that, and it's now grown into an actual comic book where they have all their DC women, and they've made them into 50s-type characters, and now they're calling them Bombshells. So it's like that Rosie the Riveter-type thing, and now they're all... They have their own comic now, so the number two has come out this week.
So does that... Is it the same thing, though, where the centerfold, you turn it sideways, and you get the ooh-la-la
let
going?
Let me take a look here, No. Centerfold has, on this particular one, somebody's got a gun to someone else's head. No, this is definitely not the kind of pinups that you want. No.
Because you started off right with the gun to the head. You went in the right direction, but then, no, I guess not. No.
No, this is not what you would normally look for. No, I'm going to say no.
Okay, so this Bombshells is obviously geared toward the boys.
I suppose. But it's also girl power.
Girl power?
Girl power.
All right.
Do you remember that from, like, what was that, musical band with girl power, Posh Spice and all those?
Spice Girls?
Yeah, that's it. That's
all right, Spice Girl.
Okay. All right, well, there is a unicorn on here, so. Wait a minute. That's a dolphin. Okay, never mind. That's
wait,
a dolphin.
Is that even a dolphin?
Yeah, that's a dolphin. Yeah.
Oh, that is a dolphin.
There's a dolphin on there. So, hey, that's Bombshells number two. Go girl power at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Next up, we have Danger Girl number one. Now, this is Danger Girl number one, Renegade. Danger Girl was a comic that was put out by Image Comics years ago by J. Scott Campbell and Josh Hartnell, I believe his name is. Andy Haltner. Now, basically, Andy Hartnell is taking over the book, and he still does all the writing, but different people do the insides.
Right.
They usually try to get J. Scott Campbell to still do the artwork for the covers.
Cover, yeah.
But very popular. It even had its own video game at one point, if you can believe it.
I remember the 90s. It was huge.
Huge. Yep,
Danger Girl number one at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Then we on... What else have we got here? Let's go to Doctor Who, Four Doctors, number 4 of 5. And this is a Doctor Who Comics weekly event. So basically, writer Paul Cornell and artist Neil Edwards are taking on to the whole Doctor Who franchise here and taking on different Doctors and just doing their take on it in comic
doctor,
book form.
Four Doctors. You know, when I saw it, when I was stacking the shelves, yeah. I thought it was the fourth Doctor.
Oh, no, these are right. about four. Four yeah.
Oh, I'm
yeah.
sorry.
I thought doctors. It was like a manual for medical groups, you know, for four Doctors.
Four Doctors, yeah. Oh, it's four Doctors, yeah.
Wow. Well, we're all wrong.
Yeah.
Luckily.
Yeah,
well. What else is new?
But a customer wouldn't be if they walked into their local comic book shop today and picked up Four Doctors.
That is very true. Very, very true. All right. Next up we have The Dying and the Dead by Jonathan Hickman and Ryan Bodenheim. And this is I don't even know how to describe this book. But man, it's a beautiful looking book, but it's got like
it's a good looking book.
It's a good looking book. It's got Hitler in it. And
you know what book is complete? No book is complete without Hitler.
It's got like godlike figures and some gore in it, and I don't even know what to make of that. But
Hitler, God, and gore.
Hitler, God, and gore.
Yeah,
wonderful. That is The Dying and the Dead, number 3 at your local comic book shop today. Check that out.
House of M. This, of course, is on the hot heels of Secret Wars for Marvel. Mm-hmm. And you know how they've gone back and they've sort of done their whole reimagining of all their famous storylines. So this is House of M number 2.
Wait a minute. Is House of M connected to Secret?
Yes. Secret Wars.
Secret Wars, yeah.
So Secret Wars has all these offshoot books where they've kind of gone back and tried to reimagine all these different famous storylines in the Marvel Universe. House of M was something that came out years ago, and so they're now reimagining it as if it was happening today during the Secret Wars.
Oh, cool. Cool. That is House of M.
That's right.
Number 2.
Also by Marvel, we also have Battle World Thors. So basically, now the Thor. This is a tough, this is tricky to say.
The Thors.
Imagine if you're from Quebec.
Oh man, I don't know how that would be worse.
Thors.
Oh right, Thors. All the different Thors are kind of like the police squad, kind of like the Green Lanterns, if you will, of the Marvel Battle World Secret Wars. And so this is a storyline about what they're doing during Secret Wars.
Oh, very cool. That is Thors, number 3.
Number 3.
Four Doctors, 3 Thors.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Remember, was it Foster Brooks that he could never get it out?
And yeah.
It was a big bird.
Yeah.
Right. Thor's number 3 at your local comic book shop.
All right. And finally, from my last book today, I want to talk about. Marvel has gone back and reprinted all of the Miracle Man books that Alan Moore and I can't even think of his name now.
Just make up a name. Don't worry about it. Just the stage is running.
Alan Moore and all these other British artists have done. Now they're going back and doing the Neil Gaiman and Mark Buckingham run as well on Miracle Man. And book 1 has come out today.
Wonderful. Miracle Man, book 1 out today. It's in a nice little poly sleeve.
That's right.
Right. All right. Well, Chris.
Alan Davis. That's the guy I was trying to think of.
Alan Davis. He used to run the Raiders. Now, after Chris does, what means you have here? 3? Yeah, at least.
At least 3 or 4.
They're all available at your local comic book shop today. But then he passes it over to me where I dispense advice on the one comic you should go in, pick up with speculation in mind.
And now how many copies should they buy? Like 100?
Depending on where they go. Popping into my shop, we have a limit.
Oh, yeah?
50.
Okay.
Just kidding.
No, you can buy way more than that.
Way more than that. He can pre-order as much as you want, but if you're if you didn't pre-order, if you missed this boat, and you walk into your local comic book shop today, I just take every last copy.
That's a good idea. Yeah. It's a very good idea.
I'll let them tell you can't.
Yep.
Go ahead. Tell me I can't.
I can't buy everything.
We're going with Deadpool versus Thanos.
What?
Number 1.
Why in the world would you pick a book like that?
Well, it was really sparse pickings this week, Chris.
Oh, okay. Well, that I believe.
And I hadn't got a clue what to pick, and then Shecky told me, "Hey, Walt, Deadpool's hot. Thanos is hot. Why don't you pick this one?"
Yeah, it's double hot.
Perfect.
And also, you know what the problem hot. is? Captain Canuck 4 comes out next week.
That so. Is correct. Yeah, yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So Deadpool versus Thanos is one of those books that has that minuscule outside chance of being hot for about 17 minutes.
Right, right.
And you just got to time it right, and you can make yourself some cash.
All right, I like it. All right. Well, listen, on that note, let's have a quick musical interlude before we get into some industry news. Shecky, do you have any music for us?
Absolutely. I got a lot of complaints last week.
Oh, why is that? What happened?
I don't want to talk about it, but right. What I will talk about is there's going to be a little bit more Krantz this week.
Oh, that's good. Okay, let's hear a little bit of Krantz then.
All right.
Oh, sorry. And we're back.
Hey, Conan, what is good in life?
What is best in life?
Crush enemies seated before you and hear the sweet sound of Krantz. Hey, listen, we do have a correction from last week.
We do.
Our good friend Steve from Comics Asylum.
Yes, yes.
Corrected us on the Spider-Man theme.
Oh, right.
Said it was Bob Harris.
I think he wrote the lyrics. I don't know if he did like the musical score, but I think he wrote the lyrics.
Oh, now you got to put that out in my head.
I'm just saying. I don't know.
Steve just told me it's Bob Harris.
Okay.
And now you're telling me it's not.
No. You know what? I'm going to believe Steve.
Right.
We should all believe in Steve.
So do I.
Yeah, we don't believe you, Walt, who's conveying the message, but we might believe him.
That is very true.
All right. Anyway, great pick, Sheck.
Yeah. Okay.
Which leads us to industry news.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And industry news, part one, is brought to us by the Hotels in Toronto. We appreciate your Fan Expo patronage and encourage you to stay with us with new and improved cosplay dressing rooms, now without the video recording equipment.
Oh, well, yeah, it's very
true.
It's
a bylaw now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some stuff.
What do you want to talk about first,
Paul? Jumping around that internet thing.
Yeah.
And saw that they just finished shooting Suicide Squad.
Oh, very good.
The shoot is a wrap.
Nice.
And the film is due for release August 5th, 2016.
Now, that was all shot, well, I mean, primarily anyway, in Toronto,
uh-huh.
right? Wouldn't it have been kind of neat if they would have had the foresight to say, hey, we'll start shooting, we'll shoot all summer, but we won't end until like the day after Labor Day,
mm-hmm.
so that maybe they can try and have some sort of event where they try and leech off of the thousands of people in the city for the Fan Expo.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
It would almost be kind of neat if they had some way to involve that.
Yeah, I know. But hey, you know, I guess they're paying by the hour. So
yeah, that is true.
And that ain't going well. But now, I don't have the schedule in front of me. Probably if we, you know, wrote the show properly, we would have had the whole DC schedule in front of us. But
right.
Is there a... what's the next DC? Is this the next DC movie?
I know. I believe that Superman Justice. What's it called now? Hold on a second.
Okay, you Google that while we're talking about
it.
And the reason I asked that, and then maybe we can talk about will this one. Is this Suicide Squad part of the cinematic build for DC as well? See, I don't even know that because
it does have Batman in it. I know that Ben Affleck was in Toronto shooting some of the shots with it.
Okay,
so Ben Affleck will be in it.
Okay,
so
same with Wonder Woman.
Yep,
she's in it too.
So it is part of the big build,
right? Because this one's called Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice.
Uh-huh.
So that's going to have Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman in it.
Yeah,
and I think they're going to start. Aquaman, because Jason Momoa is going to be Aquaman. I believe he's in it as well.
but wait a minute, when's that Batman release?
Yeah, I think
2016.
Yeah, but what date?
Oh, geez, you know,
because this is August 5th, so I guess that would be an early summer one.
I think it's early. I think it's a month or two earlier.
So, So it is tied. So this
March 25th, okay. 2016.
All right. So that's good. So really next spring then is the big DC push. That's when it all kind of starts going. These movies that are interconnected a la what Marvel is doing.
Right.
I'm wondering if they're going to be more connected. You know how Marvels are connected, but they're connected by a thread? They're kind of like standalone movies. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they have that thread of connectivity through, you know, some sort of
I think they're trying to do the same thing,
but I'm just wondering, would it work to go even more like to would it work to
I think you need to imply that you're connected with other people. Like Marvel's done it really well, where, say, you know, in movies that aren't Avengers, you got lots of references to the Avengers or to Hulk or Captain or Iron Man or something, right, but you never see him, like it's just, but it's alluded to that it's an understandable fact. Like, Iron Man's out doing his own thing, so he can't be here to help us right now. But that's all the tie-in you really need, because you know something else is going on. Maybe the third movie is what he's doing out in his time while this movie's taking place. That's all you really need.
Yeah, they kind of talk about, like, you know, and they always reference, like, the Battle of New York and that kind of thing. There's always tie-ins around it. So Wonder Woman comes out in 2017, and then Justice League Part 1 comes out in 2017 as well.
Right.
They as far as I know, there's no release the actual release dates. And then they've got The Flash and Aquaman in 2018, Shazam and Justice League Part 2 in 2019, and then Cyborg and Green Lantern Corps in 2020.
Cyborg and Green Lantern, baby.
They ain't got nothing on me.
Ain't got nothing on me.
So there you go.
Okay, so that's good. Listen, let's move on to this new Doc Strange film. So they've named this guy Mads Mikkelsen.
Mads Mikkelsen, yeah.
As the villain
in the Doctor Strange,
movie.
Right.
Now, Mads Mikkelsen, he's the guy, I think I know him from in that first James Bond movie where Casino Royale.
That's right. That's the same guy.
He's a nasty guy.
He's great.
I like him.
He's got that face. He's such a villain.
Yeah. He's got a good villain face. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
He plays Hannibal. Right.
Yeah. So that is very, very cool. So I like that casting. That's a great cast.
Yep, I agree.
And what do you guys think? I don't know if we talked about it before, but what do you guys think of Benedict Cumberbatch there as...
You know what? I think he's great.
He's a great actor.
Yeah, well, I know he's a great actor, but is he too tied to...
I think he's a good enough character actor that he'll be great. I think he's going to be an awesome choice for that role. Yeah. Honestly, I really do. I think I can't think of anybody else playing that role now.
Yeah, because he's tall and thin, you know, like a la Strange.
Give him a little, you know, wispy mustache. Goatee.
I still think Tom Selleck could pull it off in a heartbeat.
Alex Trebek for me. But, okay, so that's good. So, and who's this guy? Tilda Swinton, who I don't know.
That's actually a girl.
I know that. I meant, who's this guy? Chewbacca Ejiofor.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
As Baron Mordo. Yeah, that's a good pick. I like that Ejiofor kid.
Ejiofor. Yeah. Ejiofor. He's a good kid there.
He's a good kid there. So, hey, this is rounding out to be a good cast. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a fan. I've always been a fan in the Marvel Universe of Doc Strange.
Yeah, me too. You know what? He's always one of those guys that when he gets written well, it's really well.
Like, no secret. I've not read a lot of X-Men in my days. I've read more Doc Strange than I have X-Men.
Have you really?
Yeah, I've read like a lot of Doc Strange relative to the other characters in Marvel that I've read. I mean, obviously Spidey and Conan and FF I read a lot when I was a kid. But the Doc Strange I like. I like to play. I like to take. I'm just hoping that they... You know, it's almost a passe thing to say that, I hope Marvel does it right, because they have been doing it right.
They've been doing everything right so far. So yeah. No, I agree.
That's a good
mix.
You know
what? I'm really looking forward to the Doctor Strange movie. I think it's going to kind of... I don't know, increase the scope of the Marvel movies, because so far you have sort of like the general superhero Marvel kind of character. You've got the espionage with Captain America. You've got the outer space stuff with Guardians of the Galaxy, and this is sort of a whole new fantasy kind of
thing. You know what I hope, Chris?
What's that?
You're going to be there with me. I know you're going to be there with me on
here
this.
Here we go.
I hope they give this movie that tinge, that little hint of those early 70s sepia tone kind of gothic sorcery, devil-y type movies. You know, that kind of, you know, Satan school.
Yeah, late 60s, early
Vincent
70s.
Vincent Pricey type stuff, you know?
That kind of Hammer horror film.
Yeah, I hope they... it's just they pay homage to... Because it's the same genre, really.
Yes. You're right.
And so I'm really looking forward. Out of all of them, I think the Doc Strange one I'm stoked for the most.
Nice. Right, so. Have you seen any of the Daredevil TV series yet?
Yes, I have.
Have you?
Yes,
have you? Have you liked it?
I've watched about half of the season.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought personally, for me, I think it's just over violent.
Oh, is it?
To the point where, trust me, I love violence. but
that was weird.
Well, I don't go looking for it, but if it comes to me,
trust
I love
me,
it.
I love my violence.
Hey, I stole something from Jonathan Winters there. But it was just, it's almost like it's violence for violence's sake.
Some
at
of it
times,
is, yeah. Some
right?
of it, yeah.
And so that's
yeah,
the part that yeah. I, that part, when I'm watching it, I go, okay, guy, all right.
Enough.
Okay, whatever.
There
I get some, it, yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it is a good show.
Very good.
Well acted. The Fisk guy is fantastic.
He's awesome. God, yeah, he's right? awesome. Yeah.
So I'm really enjoying that.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Huh?
Vincent D'Onofrio.
No, Fisk.
Anyways,
hello.
This thing on. Hello.
All right.
While we're talking about movies, we have to talk about Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
Oh yeah,
it's taking over all the IMAX screens in North America, and that's coming out in December 16th,
so
I believe
December.
It is. This December.
Star Wars is close.
It's very close. In fact, here's
how many more sleeps till Star Wars?
That I don't know. Oh. But you know, here the interesting thing to me is how much. New, I'll call it new media, right? So Instagram, all that kind of stuff is now playing a part in movies these days because Disney released a 12-second clip on Instagram that nobody had seen yet before, but that was the only place you could see it, right? So obviously on Instagram,
right?
Well, of course, people downloaded it and everything, but it was now on Instagram, which boggles my mind because before in the day it'd be in theaters or on the TV whatever, or even at like a late night show, it'd be like, okay, here's Johnny Carson's exclusive clip. Now it's on Instagram. I think it's interesting that it's going that way.
Well, hey, listen, it's going to reach the most people that way, get excited. So,
yep.
I mean, okay, help me here because I'm not well versed on this kind of stuff. But so I really want to see it, but I don't have Instagram. I have to load Instagram into my computer to see it.
Well, right? You know what? That's the beauty of the internet is that after about 12 seconds of it being on Instagram,
it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube
right,
and
okay,
all these other
yeah.
places.
All right,
yeah.
Fair enough. All right, very, very, very cool. So should we go to...
Let's have a quick musical interlude.
Right, because we have a lot to talk about.
We do,
show. Hey, I have to remind everybody we're on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio.
Hamilton's award-winning music station.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Checky, what do you got for us?
By popular demand of one Walter, more Krantz.
Nice, let's hear it.
Yeah, DJ Shecky Fresh.
Spinning some good tunes.
Yeah, really hit the nail on the head tunes. With that one. That was a good one.
Thanks, Shex.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, which leads us into part duh of industry news.
Duh. Yeah, absolutely. Duh, brought to you by the upcoming Marvel and DC films. Who will win the movie battle for 2016? More importantly, who will reboot their comic series yet again in 2016?
Oh, yeah. Very good point.
My guess is both.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about, hey, Chris, I wanted to talk about, so report comes out for Wizard World that they lost a lot of money in 2015, the first half of 2015. Wizard World, of course, are those massive convention guys.
We've been to a few of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they own like, what, 8 or 9 of them?
I think more now. Yeah. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Because they were in a big expansion mode. Mm-hmm. And I remember a few years ago.
I remember when.
We were ragging on them about how many shows that they were setting up.
Too many shows.
Yeah. And that was about a few years ago, six years ago.
Yeah.
But they kind of had the pulse correct in terms of the expansion of Comic-Cons.
That is true. That's very, very, very true.
So their aggressive moves led to profits in 2014.
Right.
But I guess continued aggression has seen them bleed red ink in 2015. So they lost $1.8 million in the second quarter.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And I guess why I brought the story up is, you know, are we reaching, or is Wizard, and then by extension, society in general, reaching a saturation point in cons?
Well, yes and no.
Right.
Yes and no. I think, you know, the big cons are, I think Chicago, the Wizard World Chicago Con, mm-hmm. right? Like, that was always a huge one. I think that probably remained to be huge.
Yeah, Philly Con is huge.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. You know, but then he hit the other smaller shows like Boston, which tried to be big, didn't really quite cut it. You know, I just don't know.
That one puzzled me.
Yeah.
Boston's such a large center, an affluent area. And for them not to do a con well just boggles my mind, really.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think that, but there are so many smaller cons now that for the average Joe, so like for example, there never used to be a show in Hamilton,
right?
And now there's a show in Hamilton. There never used to be a show in Niagara. Now there's a show in Niagara.
Yeah, you're right.
And they're
a few weeks ago, the Windsor Comic Con happened.
Right.
And this is just in a small geographic area, the Kitchener Comic Con.
Yep.
Of Southern Ontario, right? And we're like piddly compared to everywhere else. They expanded into China.
Really?
But they weren't happy with that show. It didn't make there wasn't the result. They expanded
to China. Interesting.
Yeah, they had a China show, but they in the report it said that local, you know, doing business in China with the bureaucracy and the changing in venues and the this and the that and the lack of control that they have over their space and their marketing, it said hurt them. But they kind of went in all, "Ooh, look at us, we're in China," but they didn't realize that it's you know, business wise, culturally wise,
it wouldn't work. Maybe not work.
It's a different thing. So it's.
But okay, I'm gonna raise a point here. So
raise it.
Right, I think that. So Wizard World traditionally was all about the comics and the comic media, I'll call it, mm-hmm. right? So it was all about comic TV shows and comic stuff. It wasn't just about pop culture, whereas a lot of, like, Fan Expo started out as a pop culture kind of event.
Yeah.
You know, horror, science fiction. And that kind of was one of the draws, that you could go to the show, and even if you were a science fiction fan, you could go see the comics and the horror stuff.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons why it became so huge.
Right.
And then San Diego, you know, they decided to affiliate themselves with Hollywood.
Yes.
And so they started having all these premieres and TV shows and all that.
Yeah.
And unless Wizard World can start to have big draws like Hollywood does, or like the San Diego show does.
I don't know
if it's going to work.
Yeah, I think Hollywood is kind of like Cannes in terms of the film festival. Maybe it's the calendar date, or maybe it's just the proximity to Hollywood, but there's large expenses, and there's only so much you can announce and stuff like that. And I think what Hollywood's done is said, hey, let's use Comic-Con as our vehicle for press releases, as our vehicle to amass the cast of whatever shows are being launched in the fall or whatever, and let's use that as the publicity vehicle.
I agree.
Now, once you start doing that to seven shows across...
it doesn't work.
It doesn't work, right? So you pick one. So San Diego Con has lucked in by proximity, but also being kind of an established con to begin with,
right,
and, you know,
right.
Or else they might have picked New York,
yep,
right?
Yep. Now, New York still does some of that stuff, too.
Yeah, because it's New York, right?
Yeah.
So they share. But I think San Diego maybe takes 70% of the thunder, whereas New York takes 25%,
right.
and everybody else gets 5% of the thunder,
yeah.
right?
You know what I still don't understand is why Wizard World hasn't created a giant Las Vegas show. Because really, yeah. if you're going to do a giant show, why not go to Las Vegas and have a huge show and get one of the supporters from one of the hotels behind you, and you know, you could have awesome cosplay.
Escorts.
Nice. Yeah. Hey, you know what would be smart? What's that big, what city are we talking about?
Las Vegas.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Las Vegas show where a billion people go to, the electronics one where...
E3.
Yeah, E3. No, it's the one where Mike, Bill Jobs, Bob Jobs. What's the guy's name?
Bill Gates.
Steve Jobs.
Bob Jobs.
Bob Jobs. They would always talk at that
convention, show. Right?
Yeah,
like
the tech convention,
the
technology
convention.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, because that's all geekdom and it's huge. Hey, if you set up your con the weekend before,
No. Las Vegas also has the adult film convention.
Oh my god.
So that's right. when you need to have
that's when you
same
need to
time.
Have,
same, yeah. at the same time or, you know, before or after.
Okay. So on that note, what what are forget about like Comic-Cons. Comic-Cons, there's a lot of them.
Right.
What are the best popular culture cons out there? Like Comic-Con be one of them. Would it be, you know, the toy ones has that. Is it Gen Con?
Toy
no,
Fair?
The gaming?
What's
the gaming one?
Is the
Gen
gaming
Con?
One. Indianapolis, yeah. Every, I don't know if that's summer or when that is, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the Adult Film Festival. The Adult Con.
Film Festival.
Sorry.
Now that's a show.
I'm not getting any sleep, Walt. I don't know what's going on.
There's Toy Fair.
Toy Fair.
Which
Where's
is
that?
In New York.
Oh, that's right. No, I think Toy Fair, Chris, is only for industry people.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Pretty
okay.
Sure.
Yeah, you might be right about that. You might be right about that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of other cons that that are like the furry cons. Obviously, are an offshoot.
Yeah. I have to return your suit, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you wash it?
Well, only where it was needed.
Extremely soiled but complete.
Yeah. Soiled but complete.
Well, hey, listen.
Well, what are the shows? I can't think of any other shows out there. Like,
well,
you know what? There are giant horror conventions.
Yeah.
Right there?
Is that in Las Vegas, too?
I think so, yeah. No, horror.
Oh, horror conventions. Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, I did some digging on the internet.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
nice.
And
nice.
I found some pretty obscure cons.
Oh, okay.
Festivals,
okay.
Whatever you want to call them.
Okay.
That aren't necessarily on the radar.
Right, right.
But
a little bit harder to find.
A little bit harder to find, but they're pretty cool.
Okay.
All right, like, I didn't know, but there's the Flatulence Con. It's an annual event held in Chimay, Belgium, Belgium's cheese capital.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And no, it's called, sorry, I misread it. It's the Flatulence Fair, Flatulence Fowl. That's what they call it.
Oh,
the
nice,
yeah.
nice.
So there you go.
That's a
listen, I'm just a conveyor of news
bunch
here.
Of professional cheese cutters over there.
Yeah. There's the Beat It Festival.
The Beat It Festival.
Yeah.
Is that like
well, it's not what you think.
Oh.
I immediately thought Michael Jackson.
So did I. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But
yeah.
Apparently there are seminars on how to do things like choke chickens.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Spank monkeys.
Yeah, oh, really? Yeah.
Apparently it's like a petting zoo.
Oh, see, I thought when you said beat it, I thought it was going to be like beads.
Like
some sort of beads that you might put somewhere.
Yeah. Well,
beads somewhere.
Totally ruined that one there. Oh, yeah. Thanks. Thanks for your help on that one. That one needed help, and I got none. There's the Making It Big Con.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And they say if you attend,
yeah,
then you've been conned.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. Where's that? I want to sign up for that.
There, Vegas. Where else? There's the Do It Yourself Jewelry Con.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's seminars and lessons on how to make pearl necklaces.
Oh, nice.
Daisy chains.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know, there's rumors that there's no jewelry at all at this con.
Hard to find.
Hard to find.
So, yeah.
Close to my heart, there is, starting next year,
yeah,
the Krantz Con.
Oh, I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, there'll be three or four guys there, and I'll be one of them.
So the three of us plus Steve.
Steve. That's about it.
A radio show going on.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, anyway, so there are just so much more different and varying cons. I think that's just a flavor of some of the
I've heard there's also the Con. It's all fans of from Wrath of Khan.
Wrath of
Khan.
Boy. Glad I missed that one. You've taken my gold. Anyway, so just a few of the cons.
I like the Beat It Con.
Yeah, the Beat It Con is nice.
It's good. It's good. All right, listen. Let's on that note, let's have a quick
personal
musical interjection here. Interlude, I should say. And let's hear a little bit of Krantz for the Krantz Con.
Yeah, for a little change of pace.
Krantz Con. Yeah, that would be the ballroom portion.
I like that one. I like that one.
A little bit of ballroom dancing.
Snowball.
Yeah, snowball. Yeah. There'd be a bunch of guys dancing with each other. excuse me. Can I cut in?
Pardon me.
So, is this part three?
Sure.
Of
sure.
Industry News?
Yeah.
Do we have a sponsor check?
Yeah, you know what? We usually don't have a part three, as far as I know.
We may even have a part four.
You know what? This is just a taste of things to come with the
new
season.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yep. So, part three brought to us by the Beat It Con, where you can make your own pearl necklace and take it home with you.
Oh!
Nice.
I don't know what to say about that.
Do I?
All right, listen.
I like it.
And we're going to defer to Shecky on this next article here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So, Shecky, you're a fan of Magic the Gathering, correct?
Sometimes I don't know why you're trying to back me up into a corner.
No,
here, Chris?
No. It's a good game from what I hear. And
absolutely, and it's expanding. It's kind of exploding. It's at the height that it's ever been right now.
Really?
Yeah.
More people are playing than ever before.
Yeah, I think they're saying the past three since Hasbro bought it from Wizards of the Coast,
yep.
who was the original creators, owners of it. They had that in 1993. It was created.
Right.
I think about 3 or 4 years ago, Hasbro bought it.
Oh.
And right when they bought it was right at that transformation stage when Hasbro decided that they had the 5-movie plan over the next 7 years sort of thing. So
right.
they made Battleship. The movie came out. Right,
there's a Ouija board.
Yeah, it's a horror movie. I saw it. It's actually pretty messed up. A little freaky.
Mr. Potato Head, did they make that movie?
No, but maybe they will. If you pull them, maybe they'll do that for
you. There
should
be a Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah, that's more your pace.
That would be
Mr.
Potato Head Con.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Everybody has to dress up like one.
Yeah.
I hate it when my nose gets pulled off.
So they were talking, though, that they bought it in thinks that it could be one of the biggest movie franchises they could also do.
Yeah.
And since they took it over, they've been putting money into it. The marketing's been better than ever. They really made it, you know, it's kind of plus and negative. They made it a corporate giant, like a cash cow. So it's just more and more kids are playing.
So would you say that if they did the movie series, it would be kind of a la Lord of the Rings-ish? Or?
Yeah, they actually, I think we talked about
I'd actually like
a few
to see
years
that.
Ago.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
They said that they wanted to do it Harry Potter style. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it with 7 movies in mind.
Okay,
like they're going to do it with not just a trilogy. They're going to do like an epic.
Yeah, but you're much more well-versed in magic than
we are. Yeah.
My impression of magic from the comic shop over the last 20 years or so is that it's too daunting to approach. There's too many characters, story arcs,
cards.
I understand that there's a large army of players, and that they're going to be the fundamental core of that fan base for the movies, right? Mm-hmm. But is it? I'm asking you, Jackie. Is it too daunting for a layman just to walk in and try to grasp the concept of Magic the Gathering?
I don't think it is, because when you, for the game, for playing the game, yeah, you have to go there with the intent and focus to actually play the game. When you're talking about going to the movies, no. People went and saw Lord of the Rings. How many people actually read Tolkien's books?
That's fair. That's fair.
But isn't Lord of the Rings more concise a concept as opposed to Magic the Gathering, which has spawned, you know, I don't know how many, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of different characters.
Yeah, let's say that, but then let's say that Magic Gathering the movie is only going to focus on the last 2 years and five main characters. Okay. Then all of a sudden it's the same as Lord of the Rings,
right?
Right,
I got it. Yeah.
So, and I think that's what they're doing.
Now, Shecky, just because I'm only a little bit versed in it now, and there are some people out there who are not even versed in it at all. So would I be correct, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I know you will.
Oh, I'm waiting for it.
In saying that the idea behind the game is that there's two wizards, and you have a deck of spells. You have a deck of cards which represent spells, and you kind of play against each other to try to beat each other with their spells.
Yeah, yeah.
Beat it!
Yeah, see, the beat it con. Yeah,
beat it
comes,
con.
Comes back to the beat it con.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you have resources, and then you have your spells and your creatures and everything, and essentially you create your own deck for a purpose, right? So you focus mostly on spells that hinder your opponent, or you focus mostly on big creatures that just...
So defense or offense or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a strategy card game.
It is. It very much is.
With spells and that kind of thing.
And you go to these high up levels, pro tours and everything.
Do you dress up?
You know what?
Are there magic cons? Or are they like Grand Prix?
But what they are, yeah, they're Grand Prix or Pro Tours, and they're Magic tournaments with 3,000 people
But they're just players. They just go there to play.
They go just to play.
Right.
I don't think any are dressing up. There might be a couple of cheerleaders, you know, like girlfriends of some guys
that
go.
Yeah.
They might wear something in tights.
I guess in all seriousness, though, it's not like people that play the game aren't like they don't. It's not like going to a comic book convention where people dress up as Gandalf and that kind of thing. You're not going to go to a card.
Not to say that people who go to these things wouldn't go and cosplay at a convention. But you don't go to this to cosplay. Like, this is a serious thing where there's a $10,000 grand prize or whatever on the line.
So when you go to a Magic Con, you go in there for business.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
You're going there with your white weenie deck.
Yeah,
and your mullet
kick ass.
Party in the front. Yeah. Sorry, business in the front, party in the back.
Right, exactly.
Gotcha. Okay,
yeah, so. That's the only knowledgeable thing you've said so far.
That's the only deck I know.
Okay,
that's the only deck I know is the white mini deck.
Now,
it struck me as funny.
There's news. There's news.
Oh, is that what we're getting to?
There's news.
Oh, okay.
So Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast have announced the first expansion set for Magic: The Gathering, the Arena of the Planeswalkers board game. There's the Battle for Zendikar board game expansion pack, which will release in January.
Ah, I see.
Now, have you ever played this game? Or
do you stick to the cards? I have not played the board game. I know that there's computer games online. They've got like the free app game now and everything too. Like, again, this is part of Hasbro's controlling the universe sort of push. I have not played the board game. I didn't even know there was one until you just announced it to me.
Okay. So, I want to tell you... I want to say what the description of the game is like.
You better read it word for word.
Okay. Set in the war-torn land of Zendikar, the new expansion features two new planeswalkers. The Merfolk planeswalker Kiora is the first two-color planeswalker for the board game, combining blue and green armies and spells in her quest to protect her world from destruction. Opposed to her is the demon Obnixilus, trapped long ago in Zendikar and desperate to escape. The demon has only recently regained his powers and seeks to destroy his former prison.
Is it nerdy that I know all the characters and everything you're talking about here?
No. You know what? No.
Is this the same as what's that other game that everybody plays?
Solitaire?
Dungeons and Dragons.
You know what? Yeah. It is just as nerdy as Dungeons. Dungeons and Dragons has Drizzt the Elf that everybody loves, so there's all kinds of characters.
I think if you don't have obscure names, you've made a terterrible game.
Okay.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Right. So here's my question, Shaky, to you.
Chuck, over to you.
Yeah, because I ain't asking Chris this because
no.
He's a little sweet Jack. So sweet it sounds like it sounds like they have a massive core fan base. And from your description of these events that are Magic the Gathering,
mm-hmm.
It's still a pure endeavor, like a pure concept. The people that are into Magic the Gathering are into playing Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily yet into celebrating Magic the Gathering in some sort of huge expo, fair, con, is my point. So I guess what my point, though, is can you see Magic the Gathering breaking out to non-players as a popular concept that people go and, you know, the kids are dressed up, maybe they're not playing, but they're, you know, a broader audience than it has other than just the hardcore players?
I think it can start doing that because at some of these gaming expos where they just, you know, they expose like new cards, new whatever, they have panels like live, what's it called, Twitch or whatever the stream thing mm-hmm. is.
Twitter?
No. It's like the live stream thing where a lot of gaming guys stuff. And they've got live feeds from all these expos mm-hmm. and conventions. And they're live on site. And there's so much popularity and so many people behind who like want to see new cards and insights and stories. Like they're not even getting much content other than some story and you know, a little bit of allure to something upcoming. It seems like there could be something to it. As for cosplaying characters who are from a card game, and a kid has no idea what they actually are, but just they see the costume and it's cool. I don't know. It might take some time, but once the movies come out, guaranteed.
Right.
Once the movies come out, then it becomes global.
Now, right. As far as the movies go, like, can you make it like, you know, like kidify it? Like, can you make it like a cartoon or something like that? Could it become more popular by trying to really like the focus
online,
on kids?
The online game and the systems game, so Xbox, PlayStation, whatever.
Yep.
They are all made more animated, anime, than they are like real and you know like real blood and
swords
and stuff.
Yeah.
It's much more of like a bird's eye view, like an animated sort of game. It's very kid friendly. I see them catering them already.
Now I have one more question. So. The thing that always boggled me about this game is that it can be very expensive to play it.
Very.
Because it's a card game, but it's also a collectible card game, they call it. So you go and you buy a pack, and that pack that you buy, let's say you spend $5 on it, you could get lucky and that $5 pack could be worth $20 right away because you get a card that's worth a lot of money.
Absolutely.
But then again, there might be a card that you need to play that could be like $100. So, do you think is it cost prohibitive for people to get into it?
It's very tough and daunting to play, and just jump in and want to play the best deck. If you're going to do that, you have to pay to play.
Okay.
Especially because there are different formats, and if you're going to play anything other than with just the newest cards, because the newest cards, like you're saying, you buy a pack, $5, open it up, see what you get.
Right.
And you can kind of build your own best deck out of $100 or so worth of investment. But if you're going to play one of the older formats, you might spend $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 to play the most competitive deck.
Really? Yeah.
Wow. It is on par with comics, where about 10 years ago, the prices just started going up.
Right.
And it wasn't even because of movies. They didn't have movies.
I know, that's the great part about it, the player base, the hardcore base. Yeah.
The support from local comic and gaming stores.
Now, help us out. The you know, a really nice copy of the most valuable card, which I believe is still the Black Lotus.
Yeah.
What would that set you back now?
From like the original set, the Alpha Black Lotus, depending how nice, if it was graded, because again, cards have the same.
Not graded, but just really nice.
Nice tight raw copy. Yeah, you're looking at least probably $10,000.
Wow, for one card.
$10,000 for one card,
and that is from 1993.
That's right.
So your death of Superman from 93. There, I don't know if that is gaining you $10,000.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, Chris, I feel like I know way too much about Magic right now, and I need a nice wash a la Krantz.
Wash.
All right. Let's all wash Walt and with some Krantz.
All right. Thank you.
yeah, guys, that was a good scrub down.
Yeah. That's all wash wall.
We need to wash a wall.
I feel like you missed the spot, though.
Purposely.
Chris, that's all you.
I'm out.
Hey, listen, we're talking about...
washing wall.
Yeah, the last segment, part four, which is unprecedented on our show. Do we have actually a sponsor for part four?
Absolutely not, Walt.
Okay.
All right, good.
Let's segue right into part four of
news.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Fan Expo, of course, which we're all heading down to this weekend. So anybody listening to us in the, you know, anywhere near an airport that can get to Toronto should come down to Fan Expo and partake.
Yes, speaking of which, we're probably leaving in about 10 or 20 minutes now to go and load in.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Now, I was reading that they're hoping to get 140,000 visitors this year.
40.
Yeah.
What did they have last year?
129.
Wow.
129.
But that's with the second hall where all the celebrities, cosplayers, and sports celebrities are.
Well, yeah, you know what? It's been morphing. This is the third year of the second hall. The first year was all sports. Second year, they switched it up with celebrities. Yeah. I don't think they've got the formula set just yet.
But
so I think they're tweaking it some more.
With the second hall, it can still grow. That's important, right? It can still keep growing in population.
Well, it's amazing. You can still buy tickets. I thought by now, last year or years ago, you tickets would be sold out by now.
Well, the capacity is so much more massive, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. And you know what, guys? Every year we look forward to going to Fan Expo, you know?
Yeah.
For different reasons. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly of it. But we all, for the most part, Chris, you were a big part of Walt's booth forever.
Until we kicked them out.
Yeah, it's true. Hey,
sorry about that, Chris.
Yeah,
but we go as retailers, right? We've done every year when we go to Fan Expo, we talk to people, we tell them, we try to inform them about stuff that they should do, stuff to plan ahead.
You
know what we don't do that I realize?
What don't we do?
We inform them what's going through our heads when we go.
The things that
we want to do.
Maybe sometimes we don't want to.
Exactly, yeah, that's a very good point.
The things that we want to do, the things we want to see, and the things we don't want to see.
Uh-huh. That's very true, yes.
So, you know, I took a poll around the shop.
A totem pole?
Yeah, a totem pole around the shop.
I'm worried.
And I got a list. It's Shecky's list. It's a double header.
Double header.
Top five things as a retailer you look forward to at the Fan Expo.
Okay.
Okay.
And top five things you don't look forward to.
Oh, right. I want to hear this. Right. This should be good.
Yeah. It's a double five.
Double five.
So number five, things you look forward to.
So we're doing, wait a minute. Look forward to first, or are we going one, two, one? Oh, I like that a lot.
Five?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the number five thing to look forward to, the good use of spandex. Because honestly,
that's good
going
point.
To Fan Expo, so
I haven't figured out how to use it properly yet, but I'm working on it.
You'll get there.
Yeah.
You'll get there.
Yeah. Number five things not to look forward to. Bad use of spandex.
I haven't figured out
how
to
me
use
too.
It properly.
Rides a little high in the back.
Mm. In the crotchal area.
Yeah.
Excuse me? All right.
Number four thing you look forward to, the food court. Honestly, Fan Expo has a pretty diverse field of, you know, 8 or 10 different shops.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
The food court's actually pretty good. Lots of big space to sit down.
Yep.
Of all the places, it's not the worst.
No.
Number four things you don't look forward to, the lack of willpower at the food court.
Oh.
If you're still going for the chili dog and the poutine. They've got sushi and something healthy.
I know.
You're not going for it.
Why?
That line is empty.
You know, you need sustenance.
Can I add a part in there as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not looking forward to the price of the food at the
The line.
The line.
At the poutine.
Even at the coffee shop.
Oh, I know.
So that was probably all five things of the not look forward to section right there.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Number three things you look forward to, though, as a retailer. The booth buffer zone. When it comes to a Saturday, there's nothing greater than having that 6-foot bubble around you. From the shoulder to shoulder, massive.
The product,
booth
buffer zone.
When people take half an hour to get down a single aisle,
I know.
On Saturday,
I know.
Nothing worse.
Nothing better than kicking up on your chair while you're in the booth. You know,
it's true.
Done that before.
Yeah, I know. I've been there.
Probably
done that.
Caught 20 winks under the table before.
Wow.
Yeah. Number three thing you don't look forward to. Having the booth across from you blaring Japanese pop music on repeat while you're trapped the whole day at the booth.
Oh, you were at that con too, right?
Oh my God.
I've got a solution this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm bringing projectiles. Not aimed at the person.
No, of course not.
At the radio.
At the radio, yeah.
You know what? It sounds like something you could do is you could go out into the aisle and then bring a little bit of the flatulence con.
Hey.
Oh, if only.
Yeah. And yeah, you know.
Hey, you're
mixed cons.
Yeah, you're what do you call your wheel of cheese is here, sir.
Okay. Number two, things you look forward to. The guys who still make the effort to come out and search quality old books and who you generally love chatting with.
Oh, like
the
guys, so
they
true.
Actually, they
so
make
true.
Those few yeah, those are, far
yeah.
between.
Good guys. Dying guys. Breed.
Yeah,
dying
absolutely,
breed.
Absolutely, you know. But they're there for the right reasons, yeah. the
right.
original reasons.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
Number two, things you don't look forward to. The guys who come in looking to sell you their old comics from the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah. still in their original bags.
Yeah.
But I will give them one concession. Most of the books in the 90s came in original
yeah,
bags.
True. And you know what? I hate to say it, but some, you know, in the 90s, that's now can be up to 25 years ago.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Getting
eh?
Old.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Wow. But you are right, Checky. Those, the old timers, and not the old timers, there's young guys
yeah,
and young
yeah,
girls
you know,
hunting
young
down lists and
yeah,
stuff
yeah,
like that,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Is but the thing, though, is with these cons, you'll still hear them griping about all the non-comic people. I thought this was a
yeah,
Comic
so
Con.
Yeah, yeah.
The good part about, like you said earlier, Chris, yeah. the good thing about Toronto, the Fan Expo, you can say, no, this isn't a Comic Con.
That's right.
This has always
it's
been a Fan
been,
Expo.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With comics in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Number one thing you look forward
number
to.
Number one thing.
Number one thing.
Number one thing. Taking each day in stride, loving the ups and downs, but knowing there is an adult brown pop probably waiting in your fridge at the hotel when you get there.
Well,
that is
an
true.
Adult
when
brown
the day
pop.
Finally ends and you kick up your
that
feet.
That is
oh.
very
uh-huh.
true. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number one thing you don't look forward to, having to wake up to go to the con each day after you had 8 or 12 brown pops in the hotel the night before.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. I don't know what
you went to that con too, eh?
Every one of them. Yeah.
Never been to one of those.
No. Wow, Checky, you know you hit the nail on the top there. What do you call that?
Nail on
the head. Yeah, yeah thank you. You're very accurate with your thing. Very poignant and
very self-reflective.
Yeah, self-reflective. Yeah. It's yeah. one of your better bits.
Better bits.
Which really ain't saying much. But.
Oh, yeah. I will agree with that.
Wow, I can't believe you're conceding to give me that one.
Well done. Right. Do we? How much more time do we have
like
to
a
plug?
Left.
Oh man. Okay. So Fan Expo, everybody, please pop in. Come to the Big B booth. We're booth 928. If you come Friday, you'll have the great fortune of seeing Chris Owen there as well.
Saturday will not be there.
Saturday, Chris won't be there.
See you all on
He's
Saturday.
Working. Well, what are you working? The Paramount.
I'll be playing the Ritz.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to seeing everybody there. So remember, comic culture is beeping.
Sorry.
Podcast at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. And of course, 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, our home. Please go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a wonderful day. And remember to support Big B Comics at the Fan Expo.